Welcome to the Biology of Trauma podcast, the show that provides professionals with the knowledge and tools for effective, science-based solutions for the trauma healing journey. I am your host, Dr. Amy, and I've done the hard work so you can stop your endless searching, have a roadmap for your own work, and be able to help others more powerfully.
Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. When we realize that we have had trauma or that someone else has had trauma, and especially as it may have already affected our health, we want to know, what is the trauma healing journey ahead? Do we have a map? How do I navigate this? Today, we delve into just that, a blueprint for the journey. We have the science and we have the experience. We actually do know the essential pieces for a roadmap. In this episode, we're answering the one question, what do we know about how to facilitate trauma healing, both for ourselves and a group? We have a guest speaker who I will introduce in just a moment. And here is what you will learn in this episode. What are the three P's of trauma healing? What kind of foundation do we need to create? What will we experience if we work on healing ourselves first? How does realizing trauma is a universal experience help us with our healing? How does the work we are doing creating the possibilities of transformation and even post-traumatic growth, and why we need to be intentional in our own healing, and even the greater purpose that trauma can give us. To answer the question of how we can facilitate trauma recovery, what is this roadmap? We first have to look at, what does this trauma healing journey require of us and our bodies? Often we get pills and a talk, but is that the only solution? No, that is actually not part of the blueprint at all. It requires an integrated approach. It requires a comprehensive program. It's not going to work to go to one specialist and then the other specialist. When it comes to trauma, it affects the mind and the body. It becomes both our psychology and our biology. We have to create a path of healing that involves the integration of the two and addressing both of them. When we look at what are those elements required for a healing journey, we can see that there are different types of healing journeys. There is the type where you just are getting by. And then there's all of this continuum until you get to the possibility of transformation. You're not just getting by anymore. The work that you've done on your healing journey and the work that you're providing for others on their healing journey is such that it has created the possibility of transformation beyond what levels of health you've had in the past. And this is your physical health, your mental health, emotional health. You are a better person than you've ever been before. You are a kinder person. You are more balanced. You are more whole. You are more healthy than you've ever been as a result of the trauma work and the healing journey. But if we're going to get to that transformation, it's not going to happen by chance. We have to be very intentional about it. Let me share with you the three elements that are required for this type of comprehensive program that we're going to talk about in this interview. So we have the body, which refers to the actual tissues. This is what I refer to as somatic work. And so we are connecting with our body. We are feeling our body. We're not just living in our heads. And then we look at the thoughts and beliefs. And so this for me is the internal family systems and the parts work. I integrate those so that for me, how I've applied it to my life and how I teach it in my professional training program is that the somatic work and parts work are literally integrated. We do them together. We are connecting with parts of us through the somatic practice and through the body work that we are doing. And in the process, that starts to open up the work that we need to do with our biology, so that we can do all the somatic work, we can do all the parts work, and yet we will hit a ceiling effect if we're not addressing how our biology has been affected and will keep us stuck. Now, the cool thing is that as we work on the biology, guess what starts to open up? We have more capacity. Our system is more available to do the somatic work, to connect with this thing called our human body, to be able to shift the states of our nervous system and not be kept as helpless and powerless over our own emotional states. The biology work will also open up more capacity for working with parts of us and actually being more present with those parts of us, because our biology will keep us very reactive, very sensitive. And as we address those sensitivities, those vulnerabilities, those reactivities, it opens up and we do somatic work and that opens up more capacity for biology work, so that we really need a comprehensive, integrative approach for the best trauma healing journey that will get us the farthest that we can go, that will help us reach the most potential that is possible on this journey. There is another aspect, I call it the three P's in the biology of trauma. Let me share that with you, because this is an essential principle for the trauma healing journey. Without this, it won't work. You can do all three of those pieces and it still won't come together for you. So any comprehensive program, any comprehensive approach, and if you're doing this for yourself, these are the elements that you need to create for yourself, because not everybody will be able to create this for you yet. There's the essential sequence. This is what I want to show you. Your approach, your comprehensive approach that will get you the furthest requires three P's. It has to be practical. This cannot just be something that you read about, that you study about. It needs to be something that you can apply to your daily life. It has to be practical. It also has to be personal. Everyone has their own biology, their own epigenetics, their own life experiences. And so everyone's body is not the same. You can't create a template program and expect everyone to have the same responses to the exercises. Finally, the third key principle of the biology of trauma that we have to bring in is that idea of empowering. You are empowered to take ownership, to take control of your body, your experience, your healing journey. If we are still putting that into someone else's hands, we are still actually in that powerless victim place that trauma has put us. So part of any comprehensive program, whether you're creating one for others or you're creating one for yourself, to get the farthest in your trauma healing journey, it has to be empowering to you. Don't let someone else take your power. With that, let me introduce you to who we have for this interview. This is someone who's been a hero of mine and someone who is very well qualified to speak on this, because he has created the Center for Mind-Body Medicine and pioneered mind-body medicine before it was even considered a thing. So this is none other than Dr. James Gordon, Harvard-educated psychiatrist, founder and executive director of the nonprofit Center for Mind-Body Medicine in Washington, D.C. He is a clinical professor at Georgetown Medical School and was chairman of the White House Commission on Complementary and Alternative Medicine Policy. In 1991 was when Dr. Gordon founded the Center for the Mind-Body Medicine. He wanted to create a healing community, a community of healers, to make self-awareness, self-care, and group support central to all healthcare, similar to my team's mission of Trauma Healing Accelerated, to get this lens and understanding that trauma becomes our biology into every medical and mental health training institution by the year 2041. Dr. Gordon, I want to ask you, of all of the life experiences that you have collected now, what would you say is the greatest psychological impact and then the greatest biological impact that you have seen that trauma has on the human body?
It's an interesting question. I've actually never been asked that question before, that two-part question. And I think the first part is that when people are traumatized, I feel like the image that comes to me is that they're tied in knots and they don't know quite what's going on, and they're uncomfortable in a variety of ways. They're uncomfortable physically, emotionally, often enough socially. They're responding in ways that are peculiar or even alien to them, and they don't know where it's coming from. And there's a sense of being overwhelmed and of not being able to free oneself. So that's my image of the most serious effect. And I put my arms like this because people who are traumatized are often so shut down. And I think long-term, the consequences of the freeze response, the consequences of being in situations that are overwhelming and inescapable, and often enough repeated or prolonged over a period of time, that in causing a freeze response, which is a life-saving response, that vertebrates have when they're in this kind of inescapable and overwhelmingly dangerous situation, when it continues, either because the situation continues or because there is a perpetuation of it in their minds and bodies, that's the most, I think, serious biological consequence, partly because it is so disabling and it removes us from the capacity to feel, it removes us from the capacity to connect with those people in those situations that can be healing, and just kind of shuts us down. So I think that's the biological response, but that deep in the brainstem, parasympathetic nervous system protective response, which again is there to save lives, when it's prolonged over time, it shuts us off from life, our own life and the life around us.
And then that blocks a person from even being able to reach out to the healing, like you mentioned. They're so shut down, they're so tied in knots that there are resources around them, and yet they're not able to reach out and access those easily.
That's right. And then the other part of it is they don't recognize when you're in that state that other people are experiencing the same thing. So I work during and after wars, for example, or climate-related disasters. And intellectually, everybody knows that everybody else has been affected, but it feels like they're the only one. And that's a consequence of that being so shut down.
And for me, this is highlighting the impact of community as part of the healing process. And so many times when people are coming into a place where they're ready to do the work, they're ready to start that opening up process, they're thinking that the only way is just by themselves or reading a book or doing one-on-one work. And yet part of what I do, and I know that's part of what you do, is like you bring in the community, you bring in the connection with other people so that they can see that, oh, I'm not alone. Others are going through this as well. And yet also obviously doing that in a way that you're not adding to the burden of feeling everyone else's overwhelm, but you're able to see it and experience it in a way that you can relate to others. And that starts to break through that feeling of it's all me and I'm all alone.
That's right. And it's also changing the definition of what trauma is, changing it from something that's a purely medical phenomenon that requires treatment and perhaps pharmacological treatment, changing it to a universal human experience in which people can become aware of the whatever trauma or challenges they've experienced and share them with one another. In order to heal the trauma, we needed to come together with a group and reestablish the connection between with our own nature and with the nature of the social, ecological, and spiritual world. And the group was the vehicle to make that happen. Unfortunately, we've lost that sense.
So powerful. And I'm curious what changes in people's physiology you have noticed as a result. I know that in my group program, so I have an entry-level program, that this is where you start if you want to continue on into other programs and courses of mine. You start with a 21-day journey that is part of a community. And we meet every day for 21 days. You do some individual somatic exercises connecting with your body. But just during those 21 days, people experience 26% decrease in their daily physical pain, 28% decrease in their GI symptoms and their sleep issues, along with the decreases in anxiety, depression, and they start to feel connected. They start to feel joy. And the power of that community as part of the healing process is so powerful. What changes have you seen in people's physiology, their biology, that tells us it's changing?
We haven't, except in one study that was done of Georgetown medical students, we haven't used physiological measures. But what people report that they have found is lower blood pressure, slower heart rate, better digestion, better sleep, less irritable. In the Georgetown study of medical students, they did not have the same spike in stress hormones when exam time came around as the students who were not in one of these groups. those changes are there, and just working and we're training prisoners to use our model for themselves and then work with others. And I was just in the Plainfield prison in Indiana, and the guys who came, many of whom have been in prison for many years, they said, oh man, just one session with them for an hour and a half, 2 hours, my body feels loose. My heart rate's gone down. I'm calm. This is the first time I've been calm in this joint in 10 years. I think the important thing, and there's been, we use about 15 different techniques that we teach, self-care techniques, virtually all of which have very sound evidence for their capacity to make changes in physiology and, in fact, structure in the nervous system. So, for example, forms of meditation we use have been shown to decrease activity in the amygdala, increase activity in the frontal cortex, and indeed build new tissue in the frontal cortex, decrease the size of the amygdala where fear and anger are centered, improve functioning in the hippocampus, and improve connectivity among various parts of the brain. So I think the biological research is there.
I teach that there are three P's in my model of the biology of trauma, and you've just nailed it. One would be it needs to be personalized. We each have our own unique body, physiology, life experiences. While there are the different techniques, they need to be personalized. And then it needs to be very practical. And I know this is what you teach. It needs to be something that people can do for themselves. The last P for me is that it needs to be empowering to help shift them out of this state of I'm helpless, I'm overwhelmed, and it's inescapable.
Couldn't agree with you more. All three of those are absolutely crucial. And again, if you look to research, the research going back to Suzanne Kobasa's research in the 70s shows that if you become engaged in taking care of yourself, that in itself has such a powerful therapeutic effect. And I think one of the problems with a lot of the ways trauma is treated is there's too much passivity. There's not enough giving people the tools they need and giving them the understanding they need to sort of embark on their own path with guidance, to be sure. And so we need to shift the whole model from a narrow medical model to a model in which self-care is central. And also in the work we do, from a medical, strictly medical, to a public health model, because trauma is so widespread. And we really need to think of it as a part of life, of all of human life, and not something that's so alien to us.
Dr. Gordon, I think that you are a danger to the business of the healthcare system. You are a good troublemaker, because if people could start integrating a comprehensive program the way that you're talking about, it would change the utilization of our healthcare services, and it would depend less on the specialization that puts people into all of these very narrow niches and bring it back to looking at someone through that comprehensive model that you're talking about.
Right. And could it threaten the profit motive? Yes, it could, indeed. And a couple of the places we've worked, like the VA, we're working with the largest division of the VA. And we've trained 400 people in that division who are using this model. And the vets like it so much more. The people who are using the model say, I really enjoy this more. I feel better about myself and about what I'm doing. But the thing is that if you use this kind of approach, you have to use it on yourself first, last, and always. You'll feel better. You'll function better. You'll like your job better. So it may change the profit motive, but in the long run, one of the things that we're starting to see, we haven't fully documented this, is people are likely to stay in their job much longer. So that saves money for the healthcare institution. In the long run, I think it's going to make us more economically sound as well as emotionally and socially sound.
One of the things that I continue to bring home to the professionals that I train is this idea that healing begins with me, that they have their own work to do and they need to be applying these tools before they start teaching it, which brings me back to this idea that you've mentioned a couple of times, but is really fundamental and central, is that trauma is a universal experience. Everyone can find these times and these patterns in their nervous system of trauma, correct?
Yeah. And you should not be doing these approaches, just as you said, with other people until you have internalized them, made them a part of your life, and learned both the benefits, but also the challenges. It's not so easy to make some of these changes. Here are the techniques. You really need to practice them and you need to notice what's coming up.
So let's talk about the transformation. And I love how you put it, where you say the possibility, right? Like just the possibility of the transformation that is possible when someone does this work and makes these changes. Yes, gets through the challenges, but talk to us about how you see the transformation and what is possible, because it can make us an even better person than what we've ever been.
Yeah, this insight is not original with me. Indigenous people all over the world have always known this. In fact, in many groups that I've spent time with or read about around the world, the way they mark out the future healers is through the experience of the boys and girls or the young women and young men who have dealt with a traumatic experience and dealt with it successfully. And then at some point, the official hit, whether it's through a serious life-threatening illness or a psychosis or major depression or through a vision quest, something resembling that, through some kind of initiation. And those people who have come through this, those young people who've come through it with some sense of confidence and understanding and compassion for others, those are the ones the official healer says, okay, little girl, little boy, you come work with me. You have the knack. You've got the juice for doing this work. So that's an indigenous understanding. We now call this post-traumatic growth, this possibility of transformation. In transforming trauma, and yet having used approaches and techniques, they have become extraordinary people. And I want to say to people who have been through hell, it is possible not only for you to reduce your symptoms, not only to feel stronger, not only to feel in balance, but also to feel better than you ever have, and to develop a vision and a meaning and a purpose for yourself that you might never have imagined before you experienced the trauma. Learning these techniques of self-care, self-discovery, and they're sharing what they've learned for each other. This is a natural healing process, and our job is to facilitate it.
I see it. That's the difference between focusing first on the cognitive aspects and trying to tell somebody that they need to think positively and have a solutions-oriented mind. When the body's not there, the body is still in that trauma. And yet when you come in and you're able to teach these things, then it is that bottom-up approach where their mind, their thoughts, their outlook is now changing as their body has changed, as their physiology, as their nervous system has changed. That are the changes that are going to stick. And that's what's so beautiful.
Yeah. And they're necessary for the other changes. So in the first part, we work with concentrative meditation, slow, deep breathing with the belly soft and relaxed. And then we also get people up shaking and dancing, doing expressive meditation. So their bodies become looser and the freeze response begin to melt a little bit. And they feel a little energy coming back in. And combining those two right at the beginning gives people the tools to create a state of physiological and psychological balance. So everything else that we use, whether it's guided imagery or sharing drawings, everything else becomes so much easier.
My son, Miguel, shared with me that he wants to become the person who goes in to save hostages, because from his childhood, he would have wanted someone to come in and rescue him. And this is the power of doing this work, where it gives them so much deeper meaning for their life. And it changes everything. They go from wanting to not even to be here to there is purpose for my life. There is meaning. And my goodness.
I think the theme is that each of us has enormous possibility to understand and help ourselves and to connect with one another that, for the most part, we haven't fully realized, and that our approach gives people the tools to realize their possibility, to feel in balance, to discover who they really are and who they can be, and to connect with others. And as they do that, to find greater meaning and purpose in their lives. So doing the work, and maybe the other theme, which we talked about earlier, is we have to begin with ourselves. And then as we share it to others, that's also part of our healing process. It's a continual process of becoming more whole, healing and becoming whole for those who are helping others, as well as for those whom we're teaching and helping.
I hope you are walking away from this interview with a lot of hope for what is possible, the possibilities, the open possibilities for the transformation. It requires intentional elements, though. It requires the community. This is why I have created the 21-Day Journey as a group experience so that we can do this in community. We heal in community. Following the 21-Day Journey, I have created an intentional community for support. These are things that we have to be intentional about creating in our life, because it cannot always be natural when we've been in that place of wanting to hide, wanting to isolate, wanting to withdraw. Bringing in community and bringing in these self-care tools, bringing in these exercises that will help connect us, bring that balance back to our mind and body. This is the trauma healing journey. This is the trauma healing journey. And with that, thank you for joining me on this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. This episode really underscores the importance of an integrative, holistic approach as the blueprint for trauma healing, and also that healing starts with us individually. I can only share the level of healing that I myself have experienced. As always, I will have links for you in the show notes related to this topic. I will start with saying that I will have the guide, Steps to Identify and Heal Trauma, a guide to help you in getting started to know and be able to recognize, do I have stored trauma in this body of mine? I will include the link to a guide on the three most common biochemical imbalances that I have seen in those on a trauma healing journey, meaning those with stored trauma in their body. In this guide, you will learn about the important biology aspects to include in a blueprint for an integrative, holistic trauma healing journey. Most people are unaware of the biochemical imbalances that perhaps even made them more susceptible to experiencing a trauma, and certainly that keep them stuck now in trauma physiology. That is why bringing in these biochemical imbalances as part of the blueprint will help us personalize the support our body needs for the trauma healing journey based on our personal biochemistry. Will you have one of these three most common biochemical imbalances? I will have the link in the show notes for you to find out. Finally, I will include two products that have been very helpful. Trimagnesium Power is a great place to start for chronic stress, where the body has been under stress for a really long time. When that happens, our body is in a state of deficiency. We don't feel we have enough, that we are enough. And that can often be related to not having enough nutrients for our cells to feel safe and resourced. Magnesium is one of the most common nutrient deficiencies, these studies show, and I have witnessed in my years as a physician, for those dealing with chronic stress and stored trauma. And then we need sleep. Healing requires sleeping. And so we have TriMag Sleep. This is a product that will help you sleep by using both magnesium and lavender. A blueprint for trauma healing requires better quality sleep. And clinical studies have shown both the benefit of magnesium and lavender as what is in this product. Remember, healing begins with us. And through an intentional, deliberate sequence, process, using tools, we can safely open up the body. There is hope. If you were to add something to the blueprint or manual for the trauma healing journey, what would you want to add based on your experience? Take just a moment and write in the comment section in the show notes what you would add to a blueprint. Yes, there is a specific section in the show notes for you to leave comments about an episode, and I would love to have you share your experience on what you would include in a blueprint or manual for the trauma healing journey. I'm your host, Dr. Amy, and until next episode, lots of love.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to subscribe. We definitely will learn, laugh, and sometimes cry together on this healing journey, and you won't want to miss an episode. Give my podcast 5 stars, share it with a friend or colleague. If you felt an impact, as it truly helps get the word out and breaking the paradigm of how we do trauma work. I look forward to seeing you back here next week. Until then, this is your host, Dr. Amy, sending you lots of love.